Haya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Readings from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text Number 2. The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha. Sakshat Brahmamayo Hari. Sakshat Brahmamayo Hari. Angsang Sena Chaturd Hagat. Angsang Sena Chaturd Hagat. Putratvang Prartita Sarai. Putratvam Prartita Sarai. Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Chatrugna, Iti, Sangyaya, Chatrugna, Iti, Sangyaya. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha. Sakshat Brahmamayo Hari. Angsang Sena Chaturd Hagat. Putratvam Pratita Sarai. Rama Lakshmana Bharata. Satrugna iti sangyaya. Matajis. Tasya pi Bhagavan Esha. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha. Sakshat Brahmamayo Hari. Putratvam Pratitas Tarai. Rama Lakshmana Bharata. Iddudna iti sangaya. Tasya. Of him. Maharaj Dasarat. Api. Also. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Esha. All of them. Sakshat. Directly. Brahma Maya. The Supreme Parabrahman. The Absolute Truth. Hari. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Angsa Angsena. By an expansion of a plenary portion. Chaturda. By fourfold expansions. Agat. Accepted. Putratvam. Sonhood. Pratita. Being prayed for. Sarai. By the demigods. Rama. Lord Ramachandra. Lakshmana. Lord Lakshman. Bharata. Lord Bharata. Satrughna. And Lord Satrughna. Iti. Thus. Sangaya. By different names. Translation. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Satrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarat. Responsibly, please. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Satrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharata, and Satrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Advaitam, Atutam, Anadam, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, 539. Ramadi Mutesu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Satrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Satrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, because the sons of Maharaj Dasarat became the sons of Maharaj Dasarat in response to prayers by the demigods. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastha Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvase Sisunyavadi Pastachade Satarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna So it's an honor and a privilege to be able to attempt to glorify Lord Ramachandra on his appearance day. It's described in this Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit that, you know, I'm going to just describe Lord Ramachandra in brief. The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra here in the Srimad Bhagavatam are only two chapters, whereas the pastimes of Lord Krishna are 90 chapters. So much more stress is given to Krishna than Lord Ramachandra. And he said he was doing this because you, O Maharaj Parikshit, heard so much about Lord Ramachandra when you were growing up. And he didn't hear so much about Krishna. Because Krishna's pastimes had just happened before his birth. So it was still fresh. It wasn't like broadcast yet all over the universe. Vedavyasadeva hadn't yet written them down. Or he actually dictated to Ganesh, and Ganesh wrote down. But, so therefore, he was saying, excuse me, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you've already, you know, heard so much about Lord Ramachandra in your youth. Personally, I didn't hear anything about Lord Ramachandra in my youth. The children, the devotees that have been brought up in this movement, they're very, very lucky. Because these impressions on your consciousness that happen when you're in their youth, they have like long-term effect. I'm still haunted by the impressions that I got in life from my youth. I was not brought up in a devotee family. I was actually brought up in an atheist family. So, therefore, I have a lot to overcome in this world in order to become Krishna conscious. But those living entities like Maharaj Parikshit and many of you are very, very, very fortunate because from the very beginnings of your life, you get to hear about Krishna and his different incarnations like Lord Ram. So Lord Ram is celebrated as Maryada Purushottam. This means that Lord Ram is known because he perfectly followed Vaishnava etiquette. In other words, practically 95% of whatever Ram did, we can actually emulate. We can follow in his footsteps directly. Sometimes, you know, it is stated that, you know, we should follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That means that we should follow their instructions. We should not try to copy them. But Lord Ramachandra is such an incarnation of God that we can actually for the majority of his pastimes, we can actually copy. In other words, he set an example, and we can follow that example. So there's only a couple pastimes of Lord Ramachandra that are in my mind that we shouldn't copy. That is, and when Sita was kidnapped by Ram, Ram became overwhelmed with separation from Sita. Now, Sita is the goddess of fortune. She is her body. She is an eternal companion to Lord Ram. So for him to lament and be totally aggrieved because of separation from his wife is a lot different than us becoming totally aggrieved and totally distraught because our wife just so happens to leave our vision, or maybe even leaves her body. There's a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. There's one Mataji, a single Mataji with a daughter. And she was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if she's still alive or not. But her daughter, she had a daughter, and she got cancer. And it was terminal. So she was in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was also in Vrindavan. And she cried to Srila Prabhupada about her daughter having cancer and that she was going to leave her body and how unhappy she was. And Srila Prabhupada did not get sentimental. He said, yes, you know, we all have to leave this world. You know, I have to leave this world. Your daughter has to leave this world. You're going to have to leave this world. This is nothing extraordinary. Just do your duty and help her be Krishna conscious. And then when she leaves this world, she'll go back to Godhead. Don't be so... He was not like, you know, oh, I'm very, very, very sorry, you know, this and that. So by this pastime, we can understand that there's certain things in this world we have to get over. And if you're married and you stick with your spouse until death do you apart, which is probably most of us, realistically, then, you know, one of the two of you is going to have to get over it and continue on in this world without your spouse. And hopefully the spouse that left first went back to the spiritual world. So there's maybe something to be happy about, actually. Especially if they have maintained their Krishna consciousness throughout their adult life. And maybe their whole life, who knows, if they're born as devotees. So that we cannot emulate from Lord Ram. This separation that he felt from Sita was vipralamba bhav. This feeling of separation was actually of great ecstasy. And he was in ecstasy lamenting and wondering when I'm going to be reunited with my dearmost Sita. So this is quite a difference from us. But the majority of his pastimes, they give such instructions and we can learn so much, and we can follow these pastimes. And Lord Ramachandra, in a purport, Srila Prabhupada said that he manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. And one of the truths that he manifested with, and Srila Prabhupada in the hill station outside of Bombay, once he was staying at some wealthy people's house, and they had a very large family, and it was Ram Navami, and he gave a lecture saying even God, he suffers when he associates with women. So this was Srila Prabhupada's, he was really, when he manifested his pastimes on this planet and he had his disciples, we were not at all qualified. Actually, we were disqualified. But by his potency, most of us stayed brahmachari throughout his pastimes on this planet, because he would preach and discuss with us the difficulties of household life and how it's so much more advantageous to remain single. But after he left, there's a saying that water seeks its level. So most of our realizations of, in Krishna consciousness were basically upheld by the potency of Srila Prabhupada and by his personal example and by his preaching. And then after he left, the water seeked its true level. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. He can, prop you up. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada, he was very candid and very understanding of our situation, but he expected a lot of us. And when his personal presence was there, we, rose to the challenge. So, Lord Ramachandra, there's the shloka in the Gita, Raja Vijay Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartam Aviyam. This Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam, if you practically apply this knowledge in your life, then you will get realization of it. So Lord Ramachandra's pastimes give ample opportunity to practically apply his teachings in our life. So one of those teachings is the power of bad association. Before he was banished to the forest, his stepmother, Kaikeyi, actually loved Ram more than her own son, Bharat. She had more affection for him than her own son. But by the power of the association of her maidservant, what was her name? Mantara. Very good. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, if I was, a pre-brahmachari from my very birth, I would have remembered that. But unfortunately, we have our conditioning, and so some of us have more propensities to forget than others. So she, Kaikeyi, was actually the most beautiful queen of Maharaj Dasarath. And she was his favorite queen. And this Mantara, she had a very special position in the palace, being the servant of the foremost queen of Dasarath, Maharaj Dasarath. And she didn't want to lose that position. So when it was announced that Maharaj Dasarath had appointed Ramachandra the crown prince, and that he would be passing down the power that he had and giving it to his eldest son, Lord Ramachandra, and that he would be becoming the king of the planet. Uh-oh. This was a very disturbing news for this Mantara. And she very diplomatically and with full purpose in mind of keeping her position as the foremost servant in the palace, because she is the servant of the foremost queen, she went out to poison the mind of Kaikeyi. And when Kaikeyi first talked to her, you know, she says, "You know, have you heard the bad news?" Mantara told Kaikeyi, and she goes, "What? I've only heard good news today. You know, Ram is going to be the king." And she goes, "You don't know what you are talking about. No, if Ram becomes the king, you will be neglected. And also your son will be neglected. This is very, very bad news." So in so many ways and from so many different angles, we don't have time to talk about now, she poisoned Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi listened to her. She didn't just shut her down immediately and said, "You nonsense, get out of my life. You're a bad association for me. Go away from me. I'm going to get another maidservant. You are not qualified to be my maidservant." But she listened to her, and she got influenced. And then Mantara said, "Do you remember when you were a younger lady and Maharaj, your husband Dasarath was severely wounded in a battle, and you nursed him back to health, and he gave you the benediction that you could ask whatever you wanted, and you said that you will take that boon later?" She goes, "Yes, I remember that. So now, take that benediction and go to Maharaj Dasarath and tell him to banish Lord Ram to the forest and make Bharat the king instead." So she did this. And oh my God, what an effect it had on Maharaj Dasarath. He was bound by his promise, and he had to do what his wife told him. And he did it. Now, what was the reaction of Lord Ram? He accepted it gladly with a, you know, here he is going to be the king of the planet on one day, and then he's banished for 13 years the next into the forest. And he said, "This is the desire of my father. I will serve that desire with my heart and soul, with enthusiasm and good spirits." So sometimes us in our lives, we experience reversals. All of us will experience reversals. We're going to get old. It's happening to me right now. I can't jump up and down like I used to. When I was a brahmachari, I really jumped up and down in kirtan. I was like we would have these kirtans, and it was dancing from the beginning of the kirtan to the end. We were passionate Westerners, and Mangalartik, at the end of Mangalartik, the whole floor was wet. The windows were full of steam. Because if you didn't dance in kirtan from beginning to an end, there was like a pure understanding you're a wimp. That's an American term. That's an American slang. It means you're like a weakling. What's wrong with you? So we would really, really dance. Now, I guess I'm a wimp. Because according to those standards in those days, because it's not possible for me to do that anymore. You know, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts. It's just like a possibility in any longer. So I'm having to it's called eat humble pie. I'm having to, basically not show off anymore. Because practically speaking, we were all new to Krishna consciousness. We didn't have any training. We didn't have much understanding. And although in saffron cloth, many of us, including myself, were actually showing off to those living entities that were in the back of the temple room. You know, we wanted to impress them with our physical dexterity and so on. Because that was our habit. You know, boys, they have a tendency to show off to the girls. That's why it's a little difficult when you're young and you go to school with the opposite sex and you're unrestrictedly associating. It creates an atmosphere where the boys kind of usually make a fool out of themselves. And by their trying to impress the girls. That is why there's a such thing as a Gurukula. They are no longer, subject to this influence of having the opposite sex around, and they have to look good, and they have to impress. So, this is a something that we were not privy to. So we had our sangskaras, and we did like this. So this is due to the power of bad association, bad sangskaras. We our peer pressure when we were growing up was if you didn't have a girlfriend, maybe you're gay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm using the slang, American slang. It means you're homosexual if you speak English but not American English. So we were and it's always a fact that whatever association you are in, you want to be accepted, you want to be liked, you want to be appreciated. So therefore, even though it might be against it's kind of against the nature of a young person, a child, to freely associate with a member of the opposite gender. It's kind of awkward. It's kind of like unnatural. But if you don't do it, you're gay. You better get into it. You better get into it. So then you force yourself to do it, and it's a very uncomfortable, unnatural situation for the living entity in his younger years to freely associate and pursue the opposite sex. But Lord Ram, he was he went to the Gurukula when he was 5. And he did not come out of the Gurukula until he was 25. Now, this caused a lot of distress to his mothers. He had not only his own mother, but the mothers of Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshman. They all equally honored and felt separation from Lord Ram for 20 years. And they did not see him once during those 20 years. So this is the ideal standard to deal with our own children. We can emulate this, actually. We send our sons to Gurukula, and we don't get in the way. We let the Gurukula raise our children. We let the Gurukula take charge of our children. And we step back and let the magic of Gurukula do its work. And Pratyaksa Bhagavam Dharmyam. I have some realization of this. Because I put my son in the Gurukula when he was not five, but when he was 12. And now he's almost 21. So is there any examples in the modern world of teenage sons, getting along with their parents? I mean, that's quite rare. You'd have to come from a very cultured family, and you'd have to be quite a submissive, extraordinary personality not to have difficulty with your parents. So the Vedic system, if you follow it, as exemplified by Lord Ram, you can avoid a lot of trouble. As I said in my... I gave a... When it was Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami's birthday, I gave a speech, and I said, Maharaj, you helped me dodge a bullet. You saved me from so much pain and anxiety. And I said, the bullet was my son. He was 12, and because of your endeavors to develop the Gurukula, now it wasn't perfect. When he first started Gurukula, he was not experienced in this area at all. He was just like thrown into it. And it took some trial and error. But then after some period of time, he basically figured some things out that he didn't understand when he first started. And one of those things that he understood is that in the Gurukula, all the children that are going to the school, they should want to be there. They're all happy campers. And if a student is not a happy camper, then he should leave and go to some other school that he's happy in. So therefore, it's required that there's some examples of older students in the school that are now teachers, and that they set the example of what Gurukula is really all about is being a good devotee and practicing Krishna consciousness, not just teaching it, but practicing it. So Lord Ramachandra, he didn't just teach, he practiced. From the very beginning of his life, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to the very end. And it wasn't always easy. One of the things that comes to my mind that we can learn from is that he, after he defeated Ravan, and he came back and took over as king from his son Bharat, his younger brother Bharat, is that he would go out in disguise to the citizens of Ayodhya and listen to what they were talking about so that he could get some idea of what their attitude was towards him so that he could adjust his behavior to so that they would respect him. So one time he was eavesdropping, and there was a Sudra couple, and he said to his wife, "You know, I'm not like Lord Ram. You know, Lord Ram, you know, his wife was kidnapped and taken away, and then he accepted her back. I'm not like him. You have gone with another man. I'm not going to accept you back. I'm not going to be like Lord Ram." So Lord Ram heard this. What did he do? He banished Sita. Now, this is quite an extraordinary event, not only because she is the goddess of fortune herself, and he knew very well that it was a fake Sita that Ravana had kidnapped, not the real Sita. But because he heard some citizen criticizing him for this, he took it very seriously and banished Sita. And Sita was pregnant. So we have to take due note of our reputation. We can learn by this. Because reputation means a lot. Our reputation and how we represent our spiritual master to the public means a whole lot. I remember when I was a younger devotee, we didn't take this very seriously. We did a lot of things in the name of devotional service that were not appropriate. I was a collector on a party that collected for Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Juhu, Bombay. And we would do so many things that was not very good. We would squeeze the people for their money, literally, practically speaking. And sometimes when I was in Hawaii, the buses full of tourists would stop and point out to me, "He's a Hare Krishna, stay away from him, he will take your money." And we were thinking, okay, Sita is Lakshmi Devi. She was kidnapped by Ravan. So we were instructed and encouraged. So in any way you can, any way, shape, or form, get her back. Take Lakshmi away from the demons. Take Sita away from Ravan. Whatever you can do. This did not have very good effect on our reputation. And it took actually many years to understand that by our leaders in our movement even. And when they did understand it and they went about to correct it, I was actually removed from Hawaii. I was given an airplane ticket. Okay, you go to the Mayapur Festival, and after the Mayapur Festival you go to L.A. Mother Krishna Lilium, she knows, she was there in Hawaii. I had a, you know, we were really bad. And I am so grateful that I was removed from that situation because of the effects it was having on the general public's attitude towards our movement. Srila Prabhupada said, first they will laugh at us. Then they will condemn us, and then they will adore us. So I was not in the movement when they were laughing at us so much. I joined the movement when they were condemning us because of our immature attitudes towards, you know, maintaining the temples and even spreading Krishna consciousness. So it wasn't a good example to follow what I did. So then later I learned, and I'm very thankful, and I can follow in the footsteps of Lord Ram and take, I was glorified and put up on a pedestal for being such a big collector. Then later I was condemned, and take this in stride, like Lord Ram. He was separated from Sita and endeavored to get her back. So I was separated from my name and fame. And it's not that I go out to get it back, but I actually go out to get humility and not recognition, but take any service I can now. And I won't necessarily be glorified for it anymore. And that will help not only me, but any of us make progress in spiritual life, because we all know from Lord Chaitanya's basic teachings that we don't make progress in spiritual life until there is humility. So, I mean, there's so many things we can learn from Lord Ram. There's one lecture by Radhanath Swami, and he comes up with like 28 of them. So I only mentioned a few, but it just goes to show how much benefit we can get from hearing the pastimes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so many things we can learn, and so many adjustments we can make in our life so that, you know, we can set a good example for others. And by, actually it's described that practice is higher than precept. That how we carry ourselves in this world and the behavior we exhibit is more powerful than the potency of being able to verbalize it to others. One's example is extremely, extremely important in spiritual life, and we can learn so much from Lord Ramachandra by this. So would anyone else like to say something about Lord Ramachandra, or does anyone have any comments or any questions? It is time for the class to end. Most of us are going to be fasting, but children are not. So if you have your children here and you want to go feed them breakfast, you're welcome to do so. No offense is going to be there. Or if you have something to do, I can continue on as long as there is the desire of the devotees here to do so. So any questions or any comments? Does anyone have any examples of what Lord Ramachandra did and how we can actually do like he did and learn from it and correct our life? Or does anyone have any questions? Yes, Rajendra Nanana Prabhu.
Thank you, Sari. Sri Ram Ki. Basically, taking the point that Ram suffered because of his attachment to Sita is half of a purport in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other half of the purport, it's worth mentioning, because more of us are in this ashram than not, but he said, for one who is married, then one should follow the example of Lord Ram and go to whatever length is necessary to protect and provide for his wife. That he should embrace that duty just as dedicatedly as Lord Ram did.
Yes, it's not that, you know, we should neglect our wives if we're married. We shouldn't discard our wives because it's, you know, it's, you know, rudely. But we should honor our wives, understand that they are also servants of Krishna, and protect our wives, provide for our wives, and in every way try to make life comfortable for our wives. That is our duty, as exemplified by Lord Ram when he went to the forest and Sita followed him. He went through great difficulties and endeavors to make her comfortable and nicely situated. Very nice. I don't want to, because that's half the purport, as Prabhupada said. Yes, God, he suffers. Even God suffers in a relationship to woman. But if you are under this, with this conditioning that most of us are, 95% of us, that you require the association of the opposite sex, then do it nicely and do it as a gentleman, with great care and great attention. Thank you, Prabhu. And one other thing I wanted to mention is that this maryada is used in another context somewhere else in Srila Prabhupada's books. There's Lord Ramachandra's Maryada Purushottam. He's the personality that exemplifies Vedic etiquette. And there's also, I mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, Maryada Ivatikrama. That means going against Vaishnava etiquette in regards to superiors. And it's described that if there is a superior to you in age, in advancement in Krishna consciousness, in any way a superior, you should regard them and give them preference. So I was just thinking in regards to offering flowers to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Puja. Sometimes there are these young boys that maybe have not had the training in regards to this. And I see them sometimes stepping in front of even sannyasis to go offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada. This is actually, of course, they're young and they don't know better. And they're offering flowers to Srila Prabhupada. But stepping in front of a sannyasi or someone older and not waiting in line, this is not a, this is actually very detrimental for their progress in Krishna consciousness. And it actually is described that if one doesn't follow Vaishnava etiquette, that your duration of life is decreased. So that's just one thing more I wanted to mention. Okay? Okay, Prabhu? Yes. Get the microphone. There's very bad acoustics here. And I will ask Amataji next. I will, for any questions or comments. Yes.
Working?
Got it.
In the Ramayana, we go through something with Lord Ram. He's trying to save his wife Sita from Ravana. And that's the main story of the Ramayana, yes? That we are trying to, we are going with him. And then at the end, after we really give our hearts to it, to the relationship between Ram and Sita, then he abandons her because somebody said something. So I wish to understand what it teaches, what kind of example he gives, because maybe back then, but for us in Kali Yuga, it doesn't sound like a good thing to do, to abandon your wife because somebody said she was touched by Ravana, so now abandon your wife.
Can anyone, I have a, because of my age,
or
what? I understand why Ram abandoned Sita.
Oh. Oh, okay, bad example. It's simultaneously, okay, he's saying that how could Ram abandon Sita? I mean, that's a bad example for us. In the Vedas, it's an exemplified by the pastime with Bhishma Dev, when Bhishma kidnapped three princes at the Swayamvara and brought them for his brother to marry, okay, Vichitravirya. And it was revealed by one of the princes that she had already given her heart to one of the kings that Bhishma Dev had defeated. And so Bhishma said, okay, you can go back, you can go and marry, you've given your heart already, you know, you should go. And we'll get Vichitravirya to marry two princes instead of three. So this principle of being touched by the opposite sex, either before or after marriage, is something that has effect on the female gender, and it makes it so that she can't focus her dedication and attention on one husband because she's been polluted. So it's not recommended that a cultured and upstanding devotee actually take a wife or take back a wife who has been touched by someone other than himself. This is a psychological principle, so we can actually understand, and then ladies have to understand that yes, it means a lot that to maintain my chastity in my youth by not mixing freely with the opposite sex, because it develops bad habits. Like in the Western world, and even in India now, divorce is just so common. And why? Because of bad habits. A young lady goes from one boyfriend to the next. There's no such thing as a young lady, practically speaking, ever, maintaining a relationship with if you're like 10, 12 years old, and then she has a boyfriend who's 10, 12 years old. Do they ever, you see them getting married and living their whole life together? No, because it's very awkward and it's unnatural at that age. And so then after some period of time, the girl, she discards that boy, or the boy discards that girl and goes after someone else. And if you're in a culture like in America, you do it many times. So you go from one boyfriend to the next, or one girlfriend to the next. And this samskara causes one to go after you're fully mature, from not one boyfriend or girlfriend to the next, from one wife or husband to the next. It's habit. The power of habit is very, very strong. So therefore, the importance and the of chastity for the woman and also for men, to just like Ram, one wife, Eka Putni Vrat. This is one example he set. We should be satisfied with one wife and take care of her and protect her and guide her in Krishna consciousness. And similarly, a woman should be very dedicated to one husband and not go jumping around like that. Okay, Matajis. Yes? Okay.
It's also worth noting that he's the king. Our politicians and leaders in this
say, should understand that the king or the leader should command respect, not demand respect. He took his service so seriously that he wanted to earn the respect of his citizens. Even at great sacrifice to him and his family, he kept himself above reproach.
Very good. I can reiterate what he said if you couldn't understand.
No,
because Maharaj Dasarath is the king. Lord Ramachandra is the king. He had to set such an ideal example because so many people are admiring him and worshiping him that he can't do anything wrong. And he had to completely follow the Vedic principles, and so because other people were going to follow in his footsteps and copy him. And if he did something like his wife had, there was talk that, he accepted her back. I would never accept you back if you did such a thing. So therefore, he renounced her. Because of the importance of setting an example, even though he knew that it wasn't her that was kidnapped. Okay, Matajis?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. When I am not very knowledgeable, and maybe it's a very simple answer, probably. What happened to the sons of Maharaj, Lord Ramachandra, after they were trained in the forest? Valmiki Muni was who trained them, but what happened afterwards?
After Lord Ramachandra was trained?
After the sons of Lord Ramachandra.
Oh, what happened to them? Yeah, that's a whole story. That's a whole pastime. Actually, so many things happened with Love and Kush. It's a whole other section of the Ramayana. And they grew up, they were Kshatriyas by nature because they were from Kshatriya parenthood and they were trained like that. And actually, one time they even fought against Lord Ram without knowing that he was their father. And it was revealed later. And anyway, I'm not so knowledgeable because I was not, I didn't hear these pastimes in my youth, like Maharaj Parikshit. So I can't really comment so much about Love and Kush. Maybe someone else can spread some light on this. After Lord Ramachandra, who is the king? Who? I can't hear you. Kush. Kush became the king. Oh yes, it's actually stated that the in chapter 12, the dynasty of Kush. It's described that Kush, the son of Lord Ramachandra, he became king. And then this is when it starts in the ninth canto, when it simply gives some genealogical table of Kush is the king, and then after Kush, another, his son became the king, and down, all the way like that. Thank you. Yes?
Just in response to one of the questions, you're saying that about it being Kali Yuga and the women being chased, but also the men have to also step up to that standard of staying with one woman. Mainly it's the men in the Western countries that are jumping from one woman to another. And also Ram was a great king and followed the emblem of what a husband a real true husband should be for a wife to follow. So once we have that proper example of a man, then the woman sees
it. Yes, Srila Prabhupada brings this up in the seventh canto, Ideal Family Life. And it is the duty of the husband to set a very good example for the wife. It is not just simply the wife's duty to follow the husband, but it's the duty of the husband to lead and to set a very good example. And Srila Prabhupada states in a purport that if a husband is fallen, fallen basically means, breaking the four good principles and, not practicing Krishna consciousness, that the woman has the right to separate herself from such a husband, but she doesn't have the right to go looking for another husband. She waits until her husband hopefully picks himself up and again becomes properly situated in spiritual life so that she can again follow him. This is the what Prabhupada stated should be done. Okay? Yes. Another question from the Matajis or comment. We're heading into some sticky territory here, aren't we?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, nice class. My question is that you said that it's the boys should go 20 years to Gurukul. And it sort of dawned on me that then the mother only really gets the first 5 years to do service and have a relationship with the boys. And because once they come out of Gurukul, then, they'll go on to other things and marriage and like that. So could you maybe comment on what service the mother has?
Okay. Look, the question is about, the boys are supposed to go to Gurukula for 20 years, and after Gurukula, they become distracted. They get married and they go to work. And so what is the mother? What's her position after the Gurukula? It's like she's been away from her children for so many years, her sons, and then they come back, and then they actually, understanding is that if you have a son and you put him in the Gurukula and you leave him to the Gurukula for them to train him, you don't get in the way, and then he will become a man and he will miss his mother. He will miss her most dearly. And then after he gets out of Gurukula, he will take care of his mother. The Vedic system is that the parents of the children are taken care of by their, the responsibility is the eldest son, and that he accepts his elderly parents into his house, takes care of them, provides for them, and makes life as comfortable as possible for them. And this is possible by being separated from them, because absence of the heart makes the heart grow fonder. Whereas if you raise your teenage son specifically, he will become sick and tired of you, and he will run away from you, like most of us did, because we didn't go to Gurukula. When we became 18 years old, what did we want to do? Because we were around our parents through our teenage years, and teenage years, according to Ayurveda, is Rakshasa years. It's very, very, it's a time when you think about your senses and you're the center of the universe, and it's a very, you know, it's not a, by nature, a very easygoing time for the living entity. Although he's in his youth, he's the nature of teenage years is very hard, very self-centered, very egotistical. And if they're placed in a proper environment, then these Rakshasa tendencies can be subdued. And these tendencies, this is in a Gurukula situation, where they have examples of the older boys that are good devotees, and they're practicing Krishna consciousness. And what do the younger boys do? They look to the older boys. And so they're sheltered from looking at the older boys that are doing, you know, nonsense, and they're put in a situation in a school that is remote and has some separation from the rest of the world, and they learn good character. That is the what education actually means, is that you see other women as mother, and you look at other people's possessions as useless. No, they're not mine. I have nothing to do with them. This is what real education is. It's not learning, x times y squared, and you know that. It's the real purpose of education is to develop good character. Okay? Yes.
When you were saying about if a woman has to leave her husband because he's fallen, but if he still continues his fallen nature and doesn't rectify and continues with his fallen nature, what is a woman supposed to do? She needs protection.
She is supposed to take shelter of her guru, of the holy name, the senior Vaishnavis, so on and so forth. There's no shortage of shelter when you embrace spiritual life. One shelter may go bad, but then there's another shelter that you can take shelter of. If you simply look, you shall find and you shall receive.
Sorry, that's very difficult for a young woman sometimes.
Yes, it's very difficult for a young woman.
Not very practical. This age.
Not very practical. Well, that's that can be argued upon. But of course, you know, we do have our conditionings, and Srila Prabhupada, he wanted this standard. But it's not that if a young lady wasn't able to follow this standard, that he would reject them, that he would encourage them, if they got remarried, to continue on in spiritual life. And so many of them have done very well, even though it is against the Vedic culture and against the Vedic standard. It's not that all is lost and there's no hope if a young lady finds herself in such a situation and is not able to maintain the Vedic standard. Wherever, whatever happens, if you continue on in spiritual life, there is rectification. Okay? Is that a good balance? Do you feel more satisfied? Okay. Does anyone have any objection to that on the men? We're not men against women here, but there's different opinions. How about you, Gidanagari? What do you think about what I just said? Okay, he's going to be quiet. Rajendranandana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, she wants to. Let her speak. It's okay. Thank you, Mother.
Yeah. As Sitamai was innocent, it was not her mistake that Ravan took her. So if something like this happens in Kali Yuga, like if some wife is unfortunate to get, molested or something happens to her, then should her husband banish her, like Lord Ram?
You know, this excuse of Kali Yuga, it's Kali Yuga Prabhu. You know, it's actually Kalair Dosha Nadi Rajan Asi Eka Mahadguna Kirtana Deva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. That this age of Kali is full of faults, but one takes shelter of the holy name, one can achieve perfection. So although this is Kali Yuga, we have the holy name. And we get the protection of the holy name, and we can rise, if we take protection of the holy name, we can rise above the faults of Kali Yuga. And one of the main ways we take shelter of the holy name is we follow the principles of chanting the holy name. And that is, one of them is avoiding bad association. And, you take on the qualities of your association. And we should seek the association of advanced devotees that are sincerely chanting the holy name. Okay, Rajendra Nandana Prabhu, or did you want to say something? Okay.
That's a perfect end for another facet of something you were talking about, that devotional service in the holy name can help us rise above the faults of this age. You were rightly speaking how any lack, to the degree we've lacked the good fortune of Vedic culture in our upbringing, or our Vaishnav sadhana in our upbringing, then it's that much more difficult to surrender to Krishna. Now, when you were saying it, I was trying to put myself in the shoes of a Mataji, because it seemed like that was the direction that it was kind of falling on, about, associating with so many men and what have you. But I remember Srimati giving a seminar here many, many years ago, and one of the things that I really, really liked that she shared with us was that most every devotee has a past.
Yes.
And even many people who you don't even recognize as a devotee may have a glorious future. Jagai and Madai were the example in that regard.
Yes.
And I forget who the example about the past was. I mean, who doesn't have a past? At least we can personally relate with that. So even though it's more challenging, it's not that, a two sincere devotees getting together with their sordid past and bad habits previously, if they will follow the instructions of the spiritual master, it's not like it cannot become an insurmountable object, because quickly they can become righteous and situated by the strength of the holy name, the instructions of the spiritual master.
As long as one takes shelter of the holy name, regardless of what happens in your life, all the mistakes will be rectified and you can go back to Godhead. But still, it's best to follow. Okay? Okay, here we go.
I'm going to put you on the battlefield here. It would be nice to hear that, the women aren't always put the fault on in our society, that the men also need to, take the blame also and be a real man.
Yeah, we should. If any living entity does something wrong, he should feel bad about it and, rectify himself, no question. But that doesn't justify that if the men are doing something wrong, that we can do something wrong too. If you're a woman, or vice versa. Anybody. Okay, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. So, I know an example where I'm from, I won't mention any names, but there is a Mataji.
You have an accent, and you have there's an echo too.
Oh, okay, do you hear me now? A little bit away.
Okay. Yeah, to put it a little bit away from you. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I know an example of a divorced Mataji living in a temple. So she sometimes acts a little bit tense towards the Prabhupada's. She, I guess, of course, she's a little bit fried. And I don't, it's not the only example that I know. There is other divorced Mataji's living in temples. So should ISKCON have any kind of facility for divorced Mataji's that they don't have any other shelter in their family except living in maybe somewhere in Mayapur or somewhere could be there some facility where they could
okay,
be.
Okay, you have to stop now because I need translation. Rajendranandana, I can understand him very well. He's from my country. Give him the microphone, please.
I'll keep it philosophical. I think he said if a Mataji becomes divorced due to no fault of her own, should there be some type of shelter given, support given to such a woman in distress? Yeah, well, that's actually, you're supposed to keep it philosophical and not.
Yeah.
Is there any facility in ISKCON for such women?
Yes, there is facility. They have their guru, they have their examples of other ladies that are very good examples. There is shelter. There's a Kunti Bhavan here, it's for single ladies that they get shelter. And a place to live, and food to eat, and some of them, these types of renounced ladies that they never even wanted to get married. But there's some ladies that were married, and their husbands are not with them for whatever reason it may be, and they ISKCON Mayapur is giving facility to these types of ladies. Okay. I think Gidanagari after you.
Hare Gaur. Hare Krishna. As Prabhu told that if man and a woman associate and a man associate with a woman, the man suffer. Even God also. How about the woman? Woman is not suffer when they associate with man.
Okay. Can you translate? Yes, as even God suffers in relationship to the opposite sex in the material world. And in his past times as Lord Ram, he suffered greatly to show us. And the other side, the women suffer greatly, the men suffer greatly, both. Okay, Gidanagari Prabhu. You let it go. Okay. I think that's... Okay, take the microphone, please. And there's...
In not a position really to speak, but I remembered something to answer my own question that I read from Madhavananda, that he said that Sita, when she was born in Nepal, there were two parrots, and they were praising they were telling the story of the Ramayana, and she asked her helpers to capture these parrots, and she captured the female, and she wanted to hear the glories of Janaki and Ram, and the female, she died in captivity, and the husband, he was so depressed, he drowned himself in the Ganges. And these parrots, she separated them so she could hear her own glories. And then this parrot, he took birth as the person who says to his wife, why Ram accepted, I'm not like Lord Ram, who will accept his wife. And this way he revenged the separation of his wife by causing separation to Ram and Sita. And then next lifetime he took birth as the washerman that Krishna takes off his head.
Okay, very nice. Did everyone hear that? I didn't hear it either. Rajendranandana, did you hear it? Okay, give us the gist of it.
He was sharing nice leela that Manavananda Prabhu had shared that tells a little background to Sita being separated because of the Shudra complaining
yes.
against her character. Mother Sita heard two parrots glorifying Ram, and she captured the female bird who was glorifying Ram so she could keep the parrot to hear the glories of Ram. The husband died in separation, took birth the next life as that Shudra who was Ram and Sita to be separated. The next life, he got the good fortune of being the washerman who had his head cut off.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? We're getting pretty thin here. Okay, Gitanagari. Prabhu? Ram Katha. I see. Very good. Very nice. Okay. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Mastava Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samantha Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi.